The Hockey Insider brought to you by Finance It. Darren Dreger in studio, about a week and a half away from the trade deadline. And we had the Phaneuf for Gabrick deal, but that could have happened at any point, really. That was about money, right? Mm-hmm. So when does the ball get rolling here? What are you thinking, Dregs?
Well, traditionally, it happens a week prior to or the days leading up to. It could happen as early as this weekend, how do you know? But I'd be surprised if, you know, there isn't something meaningful involving some interesting pieces by midweek of next week.
Well, wouldn't you think a team has to get ahead of the curve here? There's only so many buyers, so many guys available. Get after
it. You make a great point, because I did the, what was it, Ottawa-Buffalo game last night.
And that, the dumpster bowl?
That place had a lot of scouts kicking around there.
Sure.
Because there's, you know, you're picking at carcasses, right?
Yeah.
And there are players of value on both teams. And it was funny because there was some jabber in between the benches between Evander Kane and Mark Stone. They were going at it pretty good. Pretty good banter. But it was just kind of funny because, you know, guys were going
out. Were they talking about getting traded?
Well, one of them was like, yeah, you've been on the trade block, and, you know, forever. And,
well, guess which one.
Yeah, exactly. So
not Mark Stone.
But it was just kind of funny. Like, it was, you look at it, that it's well known throughout the league. Like,
yeah, everyone
these
knows.
Guys watch TSN. They watch. They're online. They know what's going on. And Evander Kane, I thought, handled it pretty well. He was pretty funny with his chirps, too. And, like, I was on the mute button for, honest, like 2.5 minutes. There was a dialogue.
Well, when you're playing on teams like that, what the hell else are you going to do?
Yeah. It was
season's done. You're waiting to get traded.
So I walk into Winnipeg on Tuesday. You know, we did the Jets and the Capitals game. So I go to the morning skate. And I walk into the Jets dressing room first, and like three or four guys just crank their head, like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
You know, because it's not normal for me to travel into Winnipeg or a lot of teams. I mean, we do a ton of Senators games, so it's less unusual in Ottawa, but they're all like, who's getting traded? Like, seriously, what are you doing here? Yeah. And then I go into the Capitals room afterwards, and that's where I meet Ovechkin outside of the room, and he had agreed to do that quick interview, but before we roll camera, he's like, I don't know, like, how do you guys do that? Like, how do you get your information? How do you talk about all these trades, and some of them happen and a lot of them don't. I said, careful, man. You know, one day your time is coming.
That's right.
And he's like, oh, I know. Maybe not this year, but it's coming. Like,
get him and no
some
trade.
Some players love it. You know, I mean, when you've got the security of Alex Ovechkin or Mark Stone, obviously he's not going anywhere in Winnipeg, they're amused by it to a degree. Right?
Oh, for sure. Well, and in Winnipeg, you're dealing with guys who probably don't want to leave because they're on such a good team.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's the polar opposite of Buffalo where it's like, we're brutal, so I know I'm getting traded to. If I'm getting traded, I'm going to a good team. Where the worst thing is, if you're in Winnipeg, you're like, please don't trade me to Buffalo, because then I'm going from the top to the bottom of the league.
Right, and I still maintain, and this is, I know OU are different on this, and it's not different, because Evander Kane's reputation is earned. Right? That's the truth. He's earned his reputation off the ice, but he's a good player. That's the scary part, is you can tell that there's teams that are probably hovering around him trying to figure out, do we pull the trigger and bring in a guy who can really help our team, but also is our...
But what level do you put Evander Kane in on now when you look at the available players? So the players that potentially are in play. Is he at the level of Rick Nash?
I think he can bring more than Rick Nash, quite frankly. Evander Kane. From an offensive standpoint, I think he can. Nash doesn't score the way he used to.
I mean, it depends on what team you're talking about, where he goes, and the fit that he is.
He's younger than Nash.
I am tired of people asking me if the Toronto Maple Leafs should get Rick Nash or another forward. They don't need another forward.
No.
But they could.
Okay, if you want to upgrade at center.
I think they could use another forward, but it's depth. That's all it is. It's not. You're not bringing in a Rick Nash to push, what, JVR farther down? No.
But what we need is one of those guys to go, right? Like Nash,
Komarov,
Kane.
Oh, okay, yeah.
No, like to set establish what the market is. Because obviously the market is out of whack. Otherwise, one of these players would have been traded by now, right?
Yeah.
So the buyers are just waiting for the first piece to roll, and then you adjust your ask as a seller after that point. So who's going first?
But
tough to say.
As you mentioned, so Evander Kane, Patrick Maroon, Rick Nash, like the left side. But Broussard's a centerman. But I'm thinking like the left wing position actually depends on, like,
is that Mike Hoffman available? Maybe.
Like, that's the thing. That's there's some players in there. Pacioretty's another name that's been floated. Some pretty good players. Now you have to choose if you want a guy on term and pay a little bit more, or you want a rental. Michael Grabner is another guy that's been bandied about. Like, position specific, especially that left side, there's a lot of depth.
I'll tell you this, just back to Toronto for a moment. The fact that JVR's ice time has plummeted in the last three games, it's gone down. I mean, he played his season low, right? What is it, 10 minutes, 10 seconds versus Columbus?
5-on-5, he does not play a lot.
Yeah, season low, 14 shifts. Now, when they've got the lead, clearly they're more comfortable with somebody like Komarov out there than they are with JVR. And you know, he got an extra taste, apparently, on the power play today in practice. But when ice time drops like that on a player of the significance of James Van Riemsdyk, guess what happens? The phone starts ringing. Because teams are going, okay, well, what's going on?
Yeah, where's he fit?
They're holding on to this guy as a rental player of their own, but he's playing 10 minutes a night all of a sudden, second lowest on the team among forwards. You know, so is there now a gap that's widening between coach and general manager? Because if you're the general manager, you're looking at your coach going, I'm not letting this guy walk out of the organization into free agency for nothing if he's not the right piece for us moving forward here between now and February 26th. Figure it out.
Well, the one thing I would, just from the outside as an observation, make is that that second line with Marlowe, I mean, they've been dominating. So there's no
Well, they don't win the other night. If Freddie doesn't stand on his lid and that line doesn't shine, but
5 points from Kadri, Freddie made 54 stops.
But
that's the game.
There was a time leading up to this last little two-week stretch where Marlowe was really, I mean, it was thin for his production anyways. He's a consistent player. So that's what worries me. And a 38-year-old Marlowe, and if you do something with JVR, which you're not going to, but you have to be careful because you can
I'm not so sure. You say that with confidence. I'm not sure about that.
That they're not going to trade him? I don't think they're going to sign him long-term.
Okay, well, if you're JVR for a second here, you've been in that world as an offensive player where, you know, maybe your ice backs off for whatever reason. Like, I get James Van Riemsdyk wants to stay in Toronto, probably loves playing for the Maple Leafs. He's got buddies all around him. You know, does he want a diminished role moving forward? And he's got the Louisville in his hand.
Well, I think he's probably thinking, Darren, I don't want this team sending a message for my free agent status that I can only play 10 minutes a night.
But I think they're sending him that at the very least, even if they don't make a move between now and the 26th, they are not giving this guy an 8-year deal at $6 million or whatever the numbers have been thrown out there. There's no way the Leafs are doing that.
I get that.
They can't do that, first of all, because of the other commitments.
I think he gets 6 times 6.5 for fun.
Well, then he's not here.
On the market.
There's no way he's here. If he's their 9th or 10th forward, according to Babcock. You can't pay your 9th or 10th forward.
I get it. But if he's not, if you can't play him 5-on-5, or you don't feel comfortable 5-on-5 in certain situations when you're leading, all of those things, then why keep him?
Well, that's right.
Get the assets back.
But here was my point. Outside of the money and the term and the UFA, you have to be very careful if you move him, because your left side looks a lot leaner because you've got Hyman, Marlowe, and Komarov.
Right.
That doesn't scream as deep with a guy like JVR.
Without Van Riemsdyk.
That's my
point.
Right. Yeah. No, all I'm saying.
And from a power play standpoint, he plays a big role on that power play because he's got the net front presence.
Yeah.
He's got great hands around the net. He's got 21 or 22 goals.
He's a good player, and situational, he's very good. All I'm saying is from a Leafs standpoint,
they're
deep in a lot of positions. He really, unless you bring in, like, again, multifaceted, if it is one of those left-handed or left wings that are
JVR
available,
comes like a three-way deal. He goes somewhere and another one of them
player
come
X comes in that is either on term that you can live with that financial situation because you're saving a few bucks or whatever,
if I'm a Western Conference team, I find a player that fits into the dynamic age-wise that'll entice the Maple Leafs. Not a budding star, but you know, somebody who's got potential. Maybe you get to sweeten it with a draft pick, but the only way you do that is knowing that you're getting JVR off the market right now. So the deal happens.
Sign and trade.
10 minutes later,
he's locked in.
He's locked in at 6-7 years, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But you got to be sure that
Then you got to talk to the agent first and get all that
stuff
figured out.
But that happens, you know. And, you know, to make that deal happen, you're going to overpay financially, either with the year and term or the money.
Yeah.
Your list there, the hot list.
Trade bait?
No, your hot list, your hot seat.
Yeah.
Is well, that just gone?
When you say hot list, that can go a bunch of different ways.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
The hot list.
Is there no such thing as a hot seat anymore? It's like, it could be the worst team, and it's like, oh, we're just kind of going through a different phase. Yeah. It's like, well, no, there is no hot seat anymore.
Not anymore. I mean, traditionally, it was established for coaches or general managers. Now, I had a veteran coach tell me last week, he thinks there could be as many as 10 coaches fired this season.
Really?
And I instantly, I'm like, zero chance. There's just no way. And I mean, this guy's been around forever. And his point is that aside
from... 10 coaches
fired this
year? I know,
it's an extreme number. And like, the only one that stands out to me is Joel Quenneville.
We were just talking about...
That's the only one. And I mean, come on. He's so decorated. Everybody has a shelf life. They need change in Chicago. I would get that. So name the other nine. If that's the... You know, Todd McClellan in Edmonton.
Is,
are they going to do that?
Who's going to fire their coach to get Joel Quenneville?
Yeah.
Well that's where it gets interesting for me. Like, I can paint you a scenario where Washington loses in the first round and Barry Trotz does not come back. Like, they've got to
possible.
Win. Yeah. Like, they've got to win.
But what's interesting... Sorry to interrupt. You're bang on. But it's interesting that we haven't seen a coaching change in February.
No.
This is first time I've ever heard
that. Some dumpster fires.
Yeah.
Right. but a lot of the teams that have struggled are either have had success last year. Guy Boucher, Todd McClellan, you know, Joel Quenneville is decorated. Rangers, AV.
But that's the thing, though. Look at the four Canadian teams who have had terrible years. Vancouver, Edmonton, Ottawa, Montreal. Two of their GMs just got extended this past week.
Right.
In Vancouver and Ottawa.
Claude Julien just got hired last year.
Claude Julien just got hired.
5-year term, big dog.
Right. You got to think he's sticking around. I would think McClellan sticks around.
I think
because of his pedigree.
At least until Christmas next year.
Right.
I think the only way he goes is if Chiarelli goes. I think Pete will do whatever he can to hold on to Todd.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, because that's the intrigue for me. Like, what happens with Chiarelli? What happens with Bergevin? What happens with Guy Boucher, because there hasn't really been a word
Jury's
on him.
Out there.
You know?
Jury's out.
But, in Ottawa and what's happened there.
You're right, but then you look at Ottawa's a team that is very budget conscious.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they are.
You know, so now you're paying Guy Boucher, you have Mark Crawford there. Like, it's, you know, I don't think it's a situation, you know.
Well,
that's,
10
that's
is
very,
extreme. I was shocked when this guy said that to me. But you could build scenarios for probably 3, 4, maybe 5.
I thought of this the other day. Now, Garth Snow has had the billboard yesterday, all hell breaking loose there.
That is just...
The billboard.
That's nasty.
We've even talked about
it. No, there's in Brooklyn, I guess it is.
Yeah.
Like a GoFundMe account to get Garth Snow out of
that
there.
That team is
so bad.
What are they raising money for, though?
It's for Anders Lee.
Well,
I think
they were going to present it to Anders Lee for his charity.
They needed $6,000 to get the billboard up, and they were going over. They got raised $6,000 in like an hour.
Money.
So they said, we'll give the extra money to Anders Lee charity.
Right.
He said, I don't want it because it's coming from
a
bad
classy.
Place.
Yeah.
It was classy for him. But I'm looking at the Islanders team. That's a really unique team where I think Dougie Waite's done a good job, but they don't defend very well.
But that's the thing. How good of a job has he done when they give up record amounts of shots every single night?
I guess my point is if you, on short term, guys like Daryl Sutter, if Joel Quenneville became available, like,
and could, Dave Tippett's still out there.
Right. One of those guys come in and you know, Ken Hitchcock, what he's doing in Dallas, like, clean that mess up a little bit.
I
like Dougie Waite.
So do I.
I really do.
I know him personally. He's a good guy. That's not what we're talking
Excellent.
About. I think he played a dangerous card the other day when he went after the fans.
Did he?
For not creating more of an electric atmosphere for the team to feed off.
Yeah, and he had to circle back. Arthur Staple, I think, put out a statement saying Dougie didn't mean it that way. He said his team...
What does that mean?
Well, did he mean it?
He meant it his team was playing so bad, they created no buzz in the building.
Right.
But he said it came off that... It was a shot at the fans. He said, I was taking a shot at my players because my players weren't playing well.
Well,
so he clarified.
It's good that he clarified because it came off ugly.
Yeah, he Marcus Stroman.
Yeah, you're on death watch if you do that, man. You start taking runs at the fans, you're not
You've got one of the best players to potentially play the game, period. And John Tavares, undecided.
Yeah.
And all of this is swirling in a cesspool right now. Oh. It's not good.
Well, and they're still in a playoff run. Right, they're
very much.
Yeah. What are they, four out of a playoff spot?
Well, Halak had to make 50 saves. Was it 50 last night?
Yeah. And we keep talking about how bad their goaltending is. And I mean, I think that that's a part of the problem. But when you're allowing that many shots,
it's
outrageous.
Thomas I'll tell Grace, you one thing. You put a cherry on top of this hole. You put it all in one blender. John Tavares is not going back to that. I will guarantee you that.
It's a default, right? Like, why would he not at least explore the market?
If he's claiming, if he's being serious, saying, I want to be serious about winning, blah, 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 he's not going back to that circus. No way. Yeah. Their new rink's not going to be ready in four years. Just no.
Yeah, there's a lot of time that's going to pass an opportunity, for sure.
Well, I hope he moves, man. That'd be great. Be great content for us.
Yep.
That's all that matters to me. All right, Drex. Good stuff, man.
You buy a San Jose Sharks hat? Is that what you'll do?
You think he'd go to San Jose?
I think they'd be one of the teams that'll do whatever is necessary.
For JT?
Yeah.
I want to see him in Vegas. Go to Vegas. Now I'm a Vegas supporter. I hated the idea forever.
We've moved past Montreal. He's not going to Montreal.
I don't want to see him in Montreal. They don't deserve him.
Why would he?
Forget Montreal. All right, Drex. Thanks, man. The Hockey Insider brought to you by Finance It. Add a payment plan to your tool belt and break down large price tags into easy, affordable payments with Finance It.